Important notice. All the information and content of the podcasts is not intended to be and should not be considered a substitute for medical or other professional advice. The answers delivered are of general nature and based on average experience with patients. The content might not be applicable and or suitable for all patients. Any treatment decisions are a matter for the individual clinician and should not be based exclusively on the content of these podcasts. I hope you enjoy them.
Hello and welcome to this Echo Educational Podcast. My name is Lihi Godni. I am a dietitian and a researcher at the Rabin Medical Center in Israel and the Echo Chair. Today, I will try to answer one of the most frequent questions asked by our patients, which is, can I be treated with nutritional therapy for my IBD? While in the past, prevalent answers were, you can eat whatever you want or diet has nothing to do with your inflammation, nowadays, data is accumulating to support the importance of dietary therapies in patients with IBD. The most established dietary therapy is exclusive enteral nutrition, or EN, as an induction therapy for Crohn's disease. EN is basically replacing whole food intake with liquid nutritional supplement. We usually give it for a 6 to 8 weeks period, and it is as effective as corticosteroids in inducing clinical remission, but superior for mucosal healing in patients with active luminal Crohn's disease. The vast majority of evidence comes from the pediatric population, and EN is actually the first-line therapy in children and adolescents with active Crohn's disease. It can also contribute to correction of nutritional deficiencies and promoting growth. In addition, data from the adult population is accumulating and supports the effectiveness of EN in adults as well. At the inception of EN, elemental formula was used. However, it is now recognized that there is no advantage to elemental over polymeric formulas, which tend to be more palatable. The formula should meet the nutritional requirements of the patients and to be tailored according to taste, palatability, and costs. Like in drug therapy, effectiveness depends on adherence. EN therapy requires the support of the multidisciplinary team and specifically the dietitian. The patient should be monitored and supported throughout the treatment, and formula type or volume should be adjusted as needed. EN is considered to be relatively safe. If the patient reports constipation or headaches, we can check for adequate liquid intake. Contrary, if the patient suffers from diarrhea, we can try to replace the formula to one with lower osmotic load, or it can indicate poor response to the therapy and should be further assessed. After completing therapy, patients can get back to a whole food-based diet with the gradual introduction of one meal per day, in parallel to reduced formula volume and frequency. Following EN, we should promote an unrestricted, balanced diet in line with local and national healthy guidelines, tailored to patients' needs and preferences. Of note, according to the last ESPGHAN and ECHO guidelines, partial enteral nutrition can be offered as monotherapy for maintenance of remission for children with low-risk Crohn's disease. But it's important to note that this therapy requires that at least 50% of the daily energy requirements derived from the formula. EN can be challenging, and over the past years, several whole food-based dietary therapies have been developed to induce and prolong remission in patients with IBD. The Crohn's Disease Exclusion Diet, or CDED, was designed to target the microbiome, mucus layer, and the epithelial barrier function to reduce inflammation. CDED has two induction phases. Each one is recommended for 6 weeks, and this is followed by a maintenance phase. CDED initially excludes intake of gluten, lactose, foods high in animal fat, and all ultra-processed foods containing food additives. CDED also have mandatory foods like certain fruits, sources of resistant starch, and sources of protein like chicken breast and eggs that should be consumed on a daily basis. Originally, it was prescribed with partial enteral nutrition for 50% of the calories. An RCT investigating the effectiveness of CDED plus partial enteral nutrition versus exclusive enteral nutrition in 78 children and adolescents with mild to moderate active Crohn's disease showed comparable and high rates of response and remission in both groups, but CDED was more tolerable than compared with EN. In another study, CDED plus partial enteral nutrition was compared to CDED alone in 44 adult patients and showed comparable effectiveness with 60% of clinical remission at week 6. 35% of the patients achieved endoscopic remission at week 24. Another dietary approach is the Crohn's disease treatment with eating, or CDTREAT. This diet was designed to replace the nutrient composition of EN. It excludes gluten, lactose, and foods rich in dietary fibers. In an open-label trial in children and adults, CDTREAT showed 85% response rate, improved quality of life, and reduced inflammatory markers in a subset of patients who adhere to the diet. While encouraging, we await further details on the specifics of the diet in order to use it clinically. A recent head-to-head trial compared the effects of the specific carbohydrate diet versus the Mediterranean diet in nearly 200 adult patients with Crohn's disease. Clinical response and remission were comparable with more than 40% symptomatic remission and 30% fecal calprotectin protecting response. The authors mentioned that the Mediterranean diet is easier to follow and is associated with other health benefits as well. In another prospective evaluation of the Mediterranean diet as add-on to the conventional therapy in patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, Mediterranean diet was shown to be associated with clinical and biochemical response and in improved quality of life. Another recent dietary approach was investigated in a pilot study of patients with mild to moderate active UC entitled the UC exclusion diet, which is low fat, low protein, high fiber diet that excludes food additives. Other dietary approaches, including the IBD-AID, the autoimmune protocol, tasty and healthy approach, and so on, are currently being investigated. But for now, lack sufficient robust evidence to support their use clinically. The common denominator of many dietary approaches is the exclusion of ultra-processed foods and inclusion of fruit and vegetables that can contribute to microbial homeostasis. It is important to note that restrictive diets can lead to nutritional inadequacy and to nutritional deficiencies, and patients should be monitored closely by their dietitian to make sure that their diet is balanced. We need to communicate the evidence or lack of evidence and the potential risks following these diets. It is also important to be aware of patients with IBD with disordered eating behaviors and risk for eating disorders. In these patients, caution is needed when considering a recommendation of exclusion diets. Beyond induction of remission, dietary counseling can help patients with IBD to improve their nutritional status, managing symptoms during active or inactive disease, provide nutritional support pre- and post-surgeries, and to improve general health and health-related quality of life. We should educate our patients and their families to adopt a healthy diet that includes a variety of fruit and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and nuts, and to reduce the consumption of ultra-processed foods. we should also promote a healthy lifestyle, physical activity, stress reduction, and improved sleep quality. Thank you so much for listening, and hope to see you all face to face soon.